it's very hard for someone to be committed and go all in on their, I suppose, their dream or their side project. But definitely now is the time to actually have the free time to set it up. Don't wait. You'll wait forever. You've had the idea. Yeah. Just press the button, execute it.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. I'm your host, Gary Fox. We are so tantalizingly close to episode 50 now, so I'd love to hear your suggestions on who I should have on as my 50th guest. If you have any recommendations, do send them over. We'll have to do something a bit special to mark it. So we're deep in the COVID-19 era, I suppose you call it now, and I want to focus on some really practical episodes for people to try help people who are having a bit of a tough time with their business, and also to try help people who are maybe in the midst of trying to start their business or have now seen this as the perfect time to start. I know that might seem a little bit counterintuitive to start a business during a crisis, but to be honest, I think there's actually no better time. Today, I'm joined by Glenn from The Startup Accountant. Glenn is a good friend of mine, got to know him over the last year, and he's really one of those people that can make the complex very simple. That's a sign of someone who truly knows what they're talking about, is someone that can do that. This is a really, really, really practical episode. So if you are in business, you're going to get a huge amount from this. I think we talk about everything from all the assistance that is available from the government now to help you through this time. We talk about the business loans, the vouchers that are on offer, your local enterprise supports that are available. And then we talk about what Glenn's advice is, how he's guiding his clients through this time, what's the essentials you need to be doing now to make sure that you come out of this period even stronger and that you survive, most importantly. We also talk about how to start, a little bit of positivity. How do you get your business going? If you haven't started and you're putting that idea on the long finger for ages, we talk about how you can do that now in a very different climate. And at the end, Glenn shares his secret as to his perfect day formula. Glenn is someone who's supremely structured and organized, and as a result of that, is able to have even more free time. I believe the phrase from Jocko Willink is discipline equals freedom. And that definitely is one of the beliefs that Glenn and I share. So if you stick around to the end, you'll get access to Glenn's perfect day formula. So here we go with episode 48 with Glenn from The Startup Accountant. Glenn, welcome to the podcast.
Cheers, Gary. How are you?
I am good. We had a little bit of a quick intro there off mic. But just give everyone a kind of a quick overview of who you are.
Yeah, so basically, The Startup Accountant, I'll give you the one-liner first. The Startup Accountant is a platform that uses kind of modern forms of communication to add value and support to startup businesses kind of when they need it most. So podcasts, Instagram, webinars, Skype, Zoom. That's kind of what the Startup Accountant is about. Now, what a lot of people don't realize is Startup Accountant, it's empowered by Cronin & Company, an accountancy practice in Terranura with over 40 years experience. So the idea behind it is that what we felt was startup businesses and startup companies, I suppose, view accountants, solicitors, bankers, you know, that kind of stuffy, gray suit wearing, briefcase carrying kind of accountant, and there's kind of an intimidation about it. So we decided to kind of put a platform in place that kind of is more a softer approach, less intimidating. And it's evolved into what it is now. And basically, I think Instagram is probably what most people, how most people communicate with us, with the Startup Accountant. Obviously, we do our workshops and we do our podcasts as well. But I think we definitely, I don't know, just snowballed into just Instagram being the platform we use to communicate with a lot of our followers and a lot of our clients. As well, but that is obviously the beauty of it is that we're having that resources of Cronin & Company and all the expertise that goes with it. You've got the Startup Accountant, which is spearheaded by, I suppose, three what I consider unbelievable people in the form of J.R., Elaine and Phil. And what you get then when you kind of, get in touch with the Startup Accountant, you get their expertise, their skill sets, their, I suppose, love for dealing with startups. And we found that over the last 6 to 9 months that's definitely a platform the startups like communicating with us.
It's very smart. You kind of exploded onto the scene about, I suppose, 6 or 9 months ago, just because you were doing things differently. Like you were popping up everywhere. I just kept seeing you guys, your name popping up everywhere because you were where no other accountants were. I think that's the super smart.
Yeah. I think what we'd spent, like, the practice is built. I'm with the practice 20 years. I'm here since I'm a spotty teenager. And the practice was built on working with small businesses, one-man bands, to, you know, where they are today. I think about 12 months ago, we kind of sat down as a group and we were like, you know, we noticed that I think what happened was we were part of the National Startup Awards back in 2018. That was our first time sponsoring it. And you got like a room full of startups that didn't really want to talk to us because they just see in the kind of the shirts and ties and the briefcases and, you know, they're going to be expensive. They're not going to want to help a startup.
That's it. It's intimidating.
Yeah. And we were kind of talking going like, that's not us, but how do we do it without coming across? We're trying to sell something. And it just snowballed really from just sitting down. And I think one day we just said, why don't we just try using Instagram and podcasts, you know? And it's like, kind of, we're kind of following people like yourself and there's other people who are kind of going, look, there's definitely a medium out there or a platform to go at. So we just started nice and slow, no real expectations. And it's funny that when you actually want to help, when you want to help people and give people advice and not look for something in return, which is exactly what we're trying to do, and people find that funny to hear that, you end up gaining traction and, you know, you get follows, you get people communicating with you. We got to a point where we only had 100 followers, but we were communicating with at least 50% of them. And there's actually an enjoyment in doing it as well. And that's the beauty of the Instagram, I think, that, you know, someone can ask me a question, I can respond to them straight away. You build up that relationship, that communication. And, you know, a lot of the questions we get in, like if people are followers on our Instagram, they're relatively, what we say is if you can Google the answer, we're going to give it to you. You know, we're not, all we're trying to do is break it down in plain English.
You do well though, because it's a tough medium. And I think that's part of the beauty of what you guys do. You make things so succinct because they have to be. They have to be literally within an Instagram comment even often. And I think there's a massive beauty in that, being able to break something down complex into simplicity. I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with. I know I do, is that something can be very complex and obtuse and you can Google it, but still not really get it. You guys are able to boil it down to often a sentence sometimes.
Yeah. And I think what happens is when people realize that, we try to get it down to a sentence, if it's going to take a little bit more, we ask them to DM us or get in touch or we set up a call, and they do. It's taken a while for people to realize that we're not going to try, we're not looking to charge them, we're not looking for something out of it. And again, a 5-minute like me talking to someone for 5 minutes can be the difference between them going into business or not.
Yeah.
And that's huge. And 9 times out of 10, all we're really doing is they've got some unsolicited advice or somewhere else, or they've overheard something or misinterpreted something. And us breaking it down into maybe plain English and giving it a bit of substance, letting them know that there's actually someone here that will support them. If that can be the difference to why they go into business, then we've achieved our goal. And that is the goal of the startup accountant, to make sure that people that are on the fence, that are not sure, a little bit nervous, that we can give them that helping hand and guide them and break it down for them, to let them know that it's the biggest challenge is coming up with the idea and being brave enough to do it. After that, there's processes in place.
Yeah, you know, I think that's reassuring. I think that's why I want to chat to you today, especially considering the madness that we're going through now, is to chat to you and kind of break things down, because it's so much noise. We were chatting there off air about, it's so much noise. There's so many articles on social media and this and that, and you should be doing this and you should be doing that. That's why I want to chat to you, because you guys are really good at breaking down the complex to the simple and going, right, we're in the middle of this. What should businesses be doing? And then at the end, I think we'll wrap up for kind of aspiring entrepreneurs or people who are like, oh, you know what? I've waited too long for this. Now's the time.
Now's the opportunity.
Yeah. So like, what have you guys noticed in the last, I suppose, 8-9 weeks? Like what's been the kind of trends you've seen?
Yeah, well, I think what we've noticed since this all started around, you know, okay, it's been with us probably since the start of the year, but it definitely was sort of the start of March when it kind of really hit home in Ireland. We've kind of seen 3 phases that have a lot of small businesses, all businesses have experienced, but especially small businesses, and that have led to new trends. So the 3 phases we've seen are kind of, initially there was the panic phase. And I think that came when we realized there was going to be schools shutting down, creches closing, certain sectors. When the government were saying about different, I suppose, schemes and different subsidy schemes, temporary layoff, COVID-19 payments. So there was all this panic for 2 or 3 weeks where nobody really knew what was going on. The government really didn't know. They were acting so fast, they had to bring things in, and they couldn't foresee every possible permutation. So there was definitely that panic phase. I think then what happened 2 or 3 weeks in, everyone realized they're in the same boat. Everyone realized there was no sector that wasn't getting affected by it. So we had that kind of reflection phase or pivot phase where, okay, here's the hand we've been dealt with. I can open now, but under a restriction. how can I change my business, even just stay alive and stay relevant, not necessarily make money, but make sure I can keep the doors open and money coming in. And now we've reached that phase of, I suppose, the realization phase that what is with us now is here with us for a long time. And through these three phases, there's been a lot of trends and a lot of good things have come of it. And a lot of it's around technology. And I think the one thing we've seen, I think everyone is seeing the, I think it is going to be a game changer, is I don't know why half the country drive to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, because I think we now realize no one needs to be at a desk at 9 o'clock.
Crazy.
There's certain jobs that you need to be there to open the doors or serve customers or fulfill your role, but 50% of people are just driving in for 9 o'clock for no reason. So the whole remote working, embracing technology and how to work remotely is definitely a trend we've seen. Also, what we've seen as well is the use of kind of other technologies that I always say to people, like, there's technology is there, I suppose, not to solve the problem, but improve and make your process more efficient. So people are now using technologies and apps that were always there, but they never used them before. Or you're embracing them now. And then we've got the kind of whole contactless world now that I think we've spoken for years about, you know, how cash will eventually come out of circulation. I think now you're going to see it a lot that people that never, you know, paid contactless, use their phone to make payments or use their phone to open doors or, you know, basically use their phone for every walk of life are now embracing that.
Do you think that's, could that stay? Do you think, or are people very wedded to cash? There's a lot of kind of the grey economy, get paid in cash and stuff like that. That's the area I struggle to imagine transitioning over.
But I think what's happened now over the last few weeks that for their own protection, they have to now to avoid kind of, you know, interacting or, you know, to adhere to the social distancing, that they're paying for things either online or they're going in to buy a coffee or their supermarket and they're tapping as they go. So they're just embracing technology that was already there. So I agree with you. I don't think it'll eradicate immediately, but we're talking to a lot of businesses kind of in kind of retail, and they're noticing as well the drop in cash is unbelievable. That's probably got to do a lot with as well that a lot of people who are out of work at the moment and receiving the subsidy payments are getting them paid straight into their bank.
Okay.
I think you could have probably recently maybe had the option of maybe going to the post office or getting paid into the bank, but people are now just getting paid their money into the bank. So there is a lot less cash in circulation. But I do believe that it's not going to go away, but I think people who were maybe fearful of using kind of tap and go or using their phone are going to embrace that.
Yeah.
I also think then the other trend we're seeing is actually the customer experience. People that would never have shopped online are shopping online. Mm-hmm. People that would never have, you know, went online to even order something, maybe a delivery takeaway, would still rang up or maybe drop down and collect it themselves. Yeah. So how we even interact, how we get food delivered, drink delivered, clothes delivered, that's all going to be embraced now. So I think if you look at someone like Gym Plus Coffee model is probably a great example of they had kind of pop-up stores to kind of have their brand visual, you know, so people would see it. But their model was shop online. And I can guarantee now that a lot of people will just start buying all their clothes online. I've even noticed myself, sure, you know, over the last month or so, you're sitting at home with the laptop and already you go into the rabbit hole that is Amazon. And before you know this, you've ordered a home gym for your back garden. you never needed before. But like, I think that's the way it's going to go. The other trends we're seeing, and businesses are adapting to that. They're now realizing, okay, I've got a customer or consumer now that is going to buy online or going to order online. Even down to your local shop, your local supermarket, they're going to deliver groceries to me now. I don't need to drop in on my way home. I'll place the order and they'll drop it into me. So I think that's where it's going, and that's where we've seen the trends over the last few weeks.
I agree with you 100%. I think it takes a mindset shift often to be forced on people.
Exactly.
We don't take cash anymore. Oh, fair enough. Mm. There's a cafe in town, Bear Market, and I used to go in there for my coffee, and it's cash. It's contactless only. Mm. There's no cash, and it's brilliant. Obviously.
And it makes a lot, and it does make it makes the thing. I've had the same €10 sitting in my wallet for 4 weeks now because well, I'm not really buying anything anyway apart from a coffee every day, but because you're just again, I got into the habit of using my phone to pay. I don't even bring my wallet with me anymore. That's the thing. I'm just the cards are on my phone. I tap and go. The tap limits have been increased, and again, you just embrace it, and now it becomes the norm. I now go for a coffee. I don't even bring my wallet with me.
That's far more convenient as well. It's suddenly so much easier. I think you're right. People who were a little bit hesitant will now kind of go, actually, that was pretty easy. and there's nothing really scary about it. So for businesses, they're the trends. So for businesses that are currently in operation and are in shutdown mode, what should they be doing? You know, from a professional point of view, they've probably taken hard steps already, but you know, if they haven't, what should they be doing to kind of keep things steady?
Okay, there's one thing that, look, we always recommend at the startup accountant, and it's the go-to tool, I think, for any business, and it's doing a cash flow. And now is more important than ever. So we always say a cash flow 3 months in advance is definitely important at any stage of your business, but especially now. Okay, so you can, there's no point in probably projecting any further than that. But if you do a 3 month projection and every week update it and evolve with it, what you'll see is that it will remove a lot of anxiety. A lot of people worry about, well, where will I be in 2 months' time? How will I survive? How will I pay wages? Should I spend money on a website now? Should I try and pivot towards, you know, an e-commerce business? Well, do your cash flow and see what money is coming in, what money is going out, and make decisions on that basis. Don't make decisions based on your gut. The cash flow will tell you a lot of information. The other thing the cash flow will do as well is, and we've been advising people throughout this process, the COVID-19 process, to do a home cash flow as well. What you'll find is that there's a lot of small items that you pay for each month or week that you don't need. So if you've made a decision that you want to spend a certain amount of money, or you want to maybe retain staff, or you want to do X, Y, or Z, do the cash flow to see, well, by spending that money and by cutting back on other things, where will I be in 12 weeks or 13 weeks? What money is likely to come in? Every penny, whether it's a subsidy scheme, which we'll talk about later on, whether it's, you know, an old debtor, whether it's money you're going to generate by operating at a 50% 50% basis, the cash flow will answer a lot of the questions for you and remove that anxiety. So I can't stress that enough, that at this moment in time now, if you've not done a cash flow for the for 3 months in advance, that it evolves every week. You know, you tailor it. You know, you might project that next week X amount is going to come in and Y leaves the account. Well, that might change for one reason or another, and then you just keep updating your cash flow. So that's the most important thing to be doing at the moment.
Okay.
I think the next thing is communication. Communication is key. Okay. A lot of people, again, I'll probably use the word stress, or the word stress and anxiety a lot, because that's what people are facing at the moment. Worried about what will the bank say, what will my landlord say, what are the revenue going to do, what will employees. Communicate with all your stakeholders. Anyone that has an interest or an impact in your business, talk to them. You'll probably find that anything you're worried about, there's a plan, or there's something in place that you can implement that will remove all that. So communicate with your landlord, with revenue, with your banks. Don't bury your head in the sand. You'll probably find that you'll have this sense of relief when you do that. And thirdly is only pay what you have to, okay? You're going to need cash at the end of it. You're going to need as much money in the bank. Majority of your creditors are probably doing some sort of deferment. Or I'm not saying they're writing off any balances, but definitely with your landlord, your trade creditors, your banks, revenue, there's probably systems, or there's probably processes there that they'll allow you maybe park debt for a while, park money owed, or work with you on a basis that will allow you then not to get rid of all your cash. I'll give you an example, like revenue at the moment, and we'll talk about revenue again later on, but revenue have been very helpful to people. Like, they've actually kind of said, look, file your returns. There'll be no interest and penalties on the actual non-payment of returns. I'll go into that in detail in a few minutes, but definitely make sure, I'm not saying you're not going to have to pay that money, but definitely make sure that you're not putting out money that you don't have to at the moment. Okay. So that's only pay what you have to. And then the fourth thing, I think what people should be doing at the moment, and I only talked to someone yesterday who's not availing of it, is availing of the government COVID-19 payments, whether that's the unemployment, temporary layoff payment, or the subsidy scheme.
That's what, okay, I want to chat to you about, because I think a lot of people are still waiting to apply, which is kind of bonkers. So maybe just explain that really simply for me.
Yeah, I think the waiting around, I think now this is where the panic set in, I suppose, a few weeks ago when people weren't sure what to do. And there's definitely flaws in what the government introduced in both payments, and I'll come to that. But the subsidy scheme is there basically where the government will give 70% of the net pay to a certain threshold. And I won't get into the thresholds, but the support there from the government. I think the reason why people were put off by it, because there was a lot of commentary, and correct commentary around it, that there was holes in this. And potentially, if you weren't entitled to it and the revenue found that you availed of it and you hadn't met the criteria, that you potentially would have to pay it back. I think as the weeks have went on, and there was more communication coming from the government. Really, if your business is down by 25%, you're more than likely able, there's other criteria, but you're more than likely able to avail a 70% scheme. Worst case scenario, revenue will ask for it back. So it can be seen as a form of a cash flow for the business at the moment, because you might know whether you need it or not. You could avail of it now and maybe your business doesn't suffer. So you can always, it's self-assessment, will be. You can go back to revenue and pay the money back.
It'd be hard to imagine many businesses that wouldn't be hit by this. So,
exactly. Yeah. So I would think that they introduced two measures. There's a temporary layoff, which, you know, if your business was shut and you had no way of, you know, paying your staff, you could temporarily lay them off and they received the 350 per week. Or there was a subsidy scheme for if you were shut, but you could maybe still contribute to the employees' wages if you had the reserves there, or if you were trading at a reduced capacity, that the government would give 70%. I think the other reason, the fear around this is as well, and I think, again, it's in the media now, is that although the payments, both payments are non-taxable at the moment, they will be subject to tax at a later stage. And I think that's what I think as well with the subsidy scheme was, employers felt that they were still, there's an element of responsibility on them, that they didn't understand what it was, so they didn't want to sign up to it. Mm. And rightly so. You know, if an employee receives a payment from their employer or part of the subsidy scheme, and exactly what it was wasn't communicated correctly to them, and they find out in a couple of months' time that this is subject to tax, the employer would have felt, well, the responsibility was on them. So a lot of employers took the easier of the two options. Look, I've shut my business, I'm not trading anymore, temporary layoff for all staff, and go and get the 350. Mm. So they're the two schemes available. I would definitely think that if you are trading, even at a reduced capacity, you should be availing of the 70% scheme. And if you're not trading and you had to let your staff go, then make sure they're availing of the temporary layoff and get the 350. Because there's probably no point in you trying to pay that money yourself or keep people on the payroll and there's no money coming in, because you're not doing a service to the rest of your stakeholders. You know, we need to make sure your business is still able to open back up at the other end. So it's, you know, if you've got other creditors and you're using all your reserves just to pay salaries at the moment, that's not necessarily in the benefit of all the stakeholders in the business.
I think that's solid advice, even just to hear from someone like yourself. That's the clearest I've heard it broken down, is that it's that fear thing. You just don't know.
It's like, just fear. I don't know about it. Lane, who looks after kind of the payroll side of it and the startup accountant, the first two or three weeks is a nightmare, because in fairness to the government, they're introducing so quickly. The message they wanted to get out was there's cash in circulation.
And to be fair, it was super fast. To be fair,
it was super quick. It's full of holes, but our mandate is put money in people's pockets.
Yes, that was key.
And it worked. And unfortunately then what we had to then break down for our clients was then, you know, what is the implications? Which one should they go with? Which one's more beneficial for their business? Mm. And which one will, how do you implement it as well? And when you, like, for example, I got a call last week, you know, because it's starting now. Employees are now not only receiving 70%, but they're actually getting taxed back because of the way the process of how the subsidy scheme has been implemented. It's a net payment. It's non-taxable at the moment. So what's happening is people who are receiving this non-taxable payment are actually getting taxed back as well, because they're not utilizing their tax credits. So people are getting more money. Yeah. But what we're trying to say to people, and there's some good commentators out there that are giving good advice, you really should be putting 30% of this money aside. Mm. You are going to have to pay tax on it eventually. Okay. There obviously will be an element of society that will probably never have to do this. But if you're on temporary layoff or you're in the subsidy scheme, you will be going back on the payroll hopefully in 9, 10, 12 weeks' time. Mm. There will be ways government are going to collect this, and it will be through your salary. So you're going to find, and this we spoke about this beforehand, that the real impact is not now, it's in 6-9 months' time. There will come a point where your salary, your weekly salary, will be reduced because tax credits are gone to cover this payment.
Okay.
But I'm going to just stress that no one knows how it's going to be collected. Yeah. And that's the other uncertainty. there is no guidelines. We're just being told it will be addressed at a later date. Yeah.
I think the most important thing is just keep going. Keep surviving now. Like you said at the very start, keep your cash on hand, keep surviving, get the money in your pocket, and it'll probably all work out in the end. You know, rather worry about it in 6 to 9 months when things are back to 60-70% rather than when you're in the depths of the crisis.
Exactly. We live in the moment. And it goes back to what I said, number one, your cash flow. If you're concerned that you're availing of the 70% scheme, well, then factor in the possibility of maybe having to give it back to revenue. Where will your business be? It could be the difference of keeping the doors open and not open. Mm. You know, the government are asking people to avail of these schemes. That's the thing. Like, although commentators are coming out with the holes in it, and there is a lot of pitfalls with it, the government's mandate is please, please, please avail of these schemes to ensure that there's money in circulation and staff have money in their pockets, because it reduces that panic and fear.
Is that so one of the biggest things? Is that, just to talk quickly on mistakes that businesses are making during COVID that you're seeing repeated, is that the biggest one, just not availing of stuff that's out there?
Not availing of stuff, yeah. Like, there actually is genuinely a lot of government supports out there, okay? So, but again, what supports do you avail of determine on your cash flow again? So I'll run through a couple of the supports I would think that businesses should be availing of now. Obviously, number one is the COVID-19 unemployment benefit and subsidy scheme. You definitely should be availing one of them. Secondly, things that the government have put in place, and again, it's been advertised on the radio a lot, is the SCBI loans, the Strategic Banking Corporation of Ireland COVID-19, the working capital scheme loans that are in partnership with the Government of Ireland. So most of the pillar banks are offering these, AIB, Bank of Ireland, Ulster Bank. Basically, they're loans there for businesses who are affected by COVID-19. And we're definitely advising people that we're not saying people should get into debt. Definitely not. But if you do your cash flow and there is a support, or there's, you know, cash flow is important and you can see it running dry, but you definitely know you can keep your business open, apply for one of these loans now. They range between 25,000 and 1.5 million. They're a really competitive interest rate. You still have to go through the normal process of applying for a loan with the bank, providing cash flows, providing figures, showing what the money is for, but definitely avail or look into them options while it's there, okay? So you've got the SCBI loans. On a smaller level, there's also Microfinance Ireland, who we really support here at Startup Accountant. They do business loans up to 25,000, but now have increased that to 50,000 for businesses through COVID-19. That's probably more realistic for small businesses than maybe the SCBI loans, because Microfinance Ireland, we've had a lot of clients. My own wife actually used it for one of her businesses with Microfinance Ireland. They really do. They have kind of a mentorship side to the business as well. They come out, they give advice. And believe it or not, they contacted her week one through this to actually see that she wanted to avail of a 6-month moratorium.
Oh, wow.
Unlike having to approach the pillar banks, like Microfinance Ireland were unbelievable. She said no at the time. They then came back to her 3 weeks later to say, look, you know, it's the start of April. Are you sure? And actually, things had evolved in them 3 weeks. So she did want to avail of it. But they're really there to support businesses. So if you, again, are looking for some working capital and you feel that, you know, once you get to the other side, you can resume to normal trading, or you've pivoted your business to a way that you definitely know that there's a long-term future in it, availing of maybe something like Microfinance Ireland is a really good option. Other supports there for people that they're not availing of, so putting aside the two kind of, I suppose, the loans, is definitely your local enterprise office. I can't stress that enough again as well, that the local enterprise office, Leo, are really supportive of small businesses. At the moment, they've got two really good vouchers that people should be availing of. There's a business continuity voucher for €2,500, up to €2,500, which gives you, you can use to then get advice on how you can get your business through COVID-19. And then there's also the trading online voucher for businesses that have never even thought about going online. I know, want to maybe put a website in place or an e-commerce platform in place. Again, there's a voucher there to be available of. And without saying it's free money, but that's what it is.
It's a brilliant, I think it's a brilliant scheme for people like
it really
you
is.
Talked about there about the trends, but e-commerce. Mm. I think there's going to be, it's like, I was talking to someone about this the other day. It's like, remember when there was phones and smartphones?
Mm.
I think it's going to be just, it's not going to be commerce and e-commerce. It's just going to be commerce. Everything is going to be e-commerce. Everything's going to be online.
You're
from
right.
From your baker to your pharmacy. It's just going to be online. And all, I think there's massive opportunities in all these areas whereby, how do you grease those wheels? How do you become a cog in those wheels of making that happen? Because a lot of these are traditional businesses who just have a shop down the local village, how they don't have a clue how to get Shopify, you know. So I think vouchers like that are huge. I don't think a lot.
I'm glad you said it. Like butchers is what I think about all the time now. Is at the moment, or your local fruit and veg store, because they actually are one of the very few businesses that are probably the doors are open and are doing quite well at the moment. But they're going to have to embrace what we spoke about earlier on, the new trends, people, contactless payment, ordering online, delivery. You know, people are going to want to place their order online, have their meat delivered at the end of the week. You know, never meet the butcher. You know, that's a business that we're kind of advising should be availing of these local enterprise vouchers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's free money there. They want to support you. Like, if you ring your Leo office, they will want to give you assistance. They will want to point you in the right direction.
Are they still that's operational, the kind of support do you know? You need them.
Yes, they're still operating.
Okay.
That's so good. Get on to them. Again, for then Enterprise Ireland, again, another, okay, obviously maybe there's maybe the more the medium to the SME side businesses. But again, they've got grants in place at the moment, up to €5,000 for financial support. So availing of, if you're a small business, you should be going onto your local enterprise office or Enterprise Ireland's website and seeing what grants and tools are available to you. So as well as the COVID-19 payments, as well as business loans, these are two options here that are effectively free money and free support. Mm,
there's a huge amount of support. You've given a huge list of things. So I think,
and the last one I'm going to say, people often forget about it, but revenue have been very supportive through this whole process in terms of not only for the advice they've been given, but in terms of, you know, there's two things they've introduced, which I feel are very important. There's the e-working tax credit for people that are working at home. They're entitled to €3.20 a day because they're using their own light and heat electricity. And then also what they've done as well is every year there's the small benefit exemption that business, they usually use around Christmas time. It's a small gift, up to €500. Yeah. Up until now, that's always been you can only have a one-off payment, €500. You couldn't split it. You know, if you give someone a gift of €250, you couldn't give them another gift. It was €500. Traditionally, always used at Christmas time or end of year as, you know, as some sort of reward for good work. What they've said now is that €500 can be broken down. So if you have employees that are struggling and a €100 gift voucher could make sure they can get their shopping for a couple of weeks, you can give them a voucher tax-free.
So I think that's a huge, so few people know about that.
Yeah, and there too, we're actually definitely, because someone actually said to me, "Go, I think we put it up on our Instagram," and they weren't being smart, but they said, well, who was in a position to be giving their staff, you know, a bonus or a gift card? And I said, well, what about someone who knows that their employees are struggling to buy groceries and want to give them a payment maybe of €100 tax-free in a gift voucher? They said, oh, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what revenue, that's what the promesses are trying to get out. So revenue have been very supportive during these times. So I would think there's lots out there, but it all stems from doing your cash flow and seeing what you actually need in your business.
That's the trickle down. And then to kind of end on a positive note, I suppose, I think a lot of people will... I think I know I'm doing it. I think everyone's doing it. I saw a really interesting poll on Pat Phelan, the entrepreneur. He put up a poll on Twitter and Instagram the other day and is like, will you go back to your normal life? And it was 60% said no. So that's very interesting. I think that's given people a lot of time to kind of reflect on what they were doing. You nailed it there with the commuting every day at 9. I think that's dead. So if people are thinking, you know what, now is my time to start that business. Now is the time to take that shift, take that pivot. I've saved up a lot of money, or, you know, feck it, I'm just going to go for it. What would you be advising people to kind of do now, and kind of how can they start the business in this time? Which I know people might think that's a bonkers suggestion to start in this time, but I think it's a brilliant time to start.
Well, I'm going to come at it two ways. First of all, yes, it's definitely a great time. But what I will say is, before we even talk about the people that want to go into business, I want actually people who are currently maybe, especially the ones that are closed altogether, that can't trade, to actually look at their business as if they're starting again, okay? Think of it as a reset button. My theory is, or, you know, especially what we feel at the Startup Accountant is a lot of businesses that started up maybe 3 or 4 years ago, because again, a lot's involved over the last few years, supports in place and how we do business, how we view entrepreneurship, and how we view standing for business. A lot of people set up businesses 2 or 3 years ago, and they weren't funded correctly, they weren't structured correctly. Take this moment now to go, where are you actually making any money? Or where are you just trading on debt, cash flow, stress, anxiety? You think of it as a restart button. Think about, look at where you are now and think, if I open back up, let's say we have a magical date that we all go back to normal at the 1st of July or 1st of August. If I open back up, am I just going back into the same problems again, the same stress, the same building up debt. Because now is an opportunity to avail of the insolvency processes that are there. Now is an opportunity to go, or maybe forgiveness, or maybe some sort of write-off. Communicate, like, see where exactly where your business was losing money. See, has it the potential to, you know, increase turnover? Have you been able to not see the wood from the trees over the last 3 years? Do you need to look at certain debt and see, can you restructure it? At least then when you open back up, it's funded correctly, the debt restructured correctly, and your business model is there to make money. Because what happens is, how you started your business 3 years ago kind of might have taken so many different turns. The business you're running now wasn't the business you wanted to run 3 years ago. So if you're in a business now and it is shut for whatever reason, try and see the positive. And this isn't a negative point of view. Look at the positive point of view. Is there a point of opening back up the doors? And what I'd suggest is do a little 3 month, even go from January to when you closed. Did you make any money in them 2 or 3 months? Get a list of creditors, everyone you owed money to on the date you had to shut your business there in March. And then factor that into a cash flow of when you're going to open back up and see what the world looks like. And if you're only going to go back into more debt and more robbing Peter to pay Paul and living off cash flow and, you know, you're not enjoying it, well, then don't go back in to that business. Restructure it, start again, and go from there. So that's what I'd say to anyone who's currently in a business to think of themselves to start. Think of it as a second, another opportunity I've always wanted. If I could do it all again, I'll do it now. Think of it as a reset button. The majority of people are going back to the starting line anyway. Majority of businesses are going to be starting all over again. No point in starting all over again with a bundle of debt. Let's see what's there, restructure it, maybe use, and again, we'll go back to, like, if you've got 20 or 30,000 of small debt, people you owe money to, maybe a microfinance Ireland loan structured over a proper length of time is key to maybe your business. But a cash flow will tell you that. So that's why I think treat your business if you're starting up. To answer your question, what should startups do? Now is the perfect opportunity that if you've ever had that ambition to start up your own business, use this time. We always say to people that there's kind of 5 phases in kind of a business life cycle. There's the seed and development phase, which is what you're in now, and you've got the idea, your startup phase, you've got then your growth, establishment, then your expansion, and then maturity and exit. So we also feel there's 5 phases to a business life cycle. The ones we're going to concentrate now are the 2 phases. First of all, you've got your seed and development. You've got the idea. What should you do? Couple of advices I'd give before we look at how you start up is I'd actually embrace yourself. You have an idea, I'd embrace yourself, surround yourself with a network of people who are like-minded. And something like, well, you know, with myself, yourself, there's James, there's Carl, Sean, David, we kind of meet up regularly. That's when you should be. People like that is who you should be discussing your business idea with, not your mate to play football with or the guys down the pub, because through no fault of their own, you're only going to get unsolicited advice.
Yeah, and they're probably going to tell you it's a great idea anyway. They don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah, or they'll pick holes in it, or they might be, you know, they might dampen it, or they, you know, the way I look at it is you've got the idea, surround yourself with people who are like-minded. I'm not saying you distance yourself from your social life as well, but definitely don't be going and expecting to have that chat about your business idea with someone that doesn't have the same mindset as you and expect to walk away feeling good about yourself. So definitely start now surrounding yourself with like-minded people. And that can, like, again, I think me and you interacted really through, like, you know, a common podcast we listen to. You know, I think we both follow Brian Keane. Yeah. I got your name, you know. So start listening to the podcast. So put yourself in the surroundings of an entrepreneur, a business mindset. That's step one.
Yeah, pulled us right on that then. And it's amazing how interconnected everything is, you know, just by connecting with you and connecting with someone else, then James connected. Mm. And there is a group of people out there who are doing a lot of cool things. Start connecting with them.
So do that now. Now you've got the time to do that. So start forming that network. Like the phrase, your network is your net worth, is so true. Have that there. You'll get so much advice from them people. Free advice, free experiences. Like I love meeting you guys, and, you know, as I say, there's always nuggets that come from it that you never thought of before, or you look at it from a different angle. So if you have a business idea, surround yourself with them like-minded people. You might even look at it at a different angle. Then you've got to make the jump into, okay, starting up a business. And this is why the startup accountant was where it comes from, why it exists, is because people, when they go into business, they start thinking of, like, there's so much to be thinking of. You know, employees, finance, taxes, revenue, leases, buildings, contracts, you know, And it's scary. It really is. What we say is break it down into small pieces. So first of all, actually, you've decided you've got the idea. You want to start a business. It's quite simple. You just need three things to run a business in Ireland. You need to have your entity, whether that's a sole trader or a limited company. You open a bank account and you register for taxes. And them three things are so simple. And the amount of people that get in touch with the startup accountant through Instagram or talk to us or myself, Elaine or JR or Phil about how much money do I need to have a company? How much money do I need to start a business? There's no amount of money. You can have your business set up for €300 or €400 in terms of setting up your company with the company's office, opening a bank account and registering for taxes. And then that's the starting point. Then you're ready to go. And so many people get put off by the thoughts of setting up a company, the thoughts of dealing with a bank, filling out forms. But we're in a world now where there is a lot of help and resources there. Okay, you'll always meet someone that doesn't want to help you. There'll always be them people out there. But genuinely, if you go into your bank, they will help you complete the bank application form. I'm doing this 20 years. I still don't know how to complete bank application form. There's always new. The amount of times I get down to the guys and I've missed a box or not put a signature there. So don't be put off by that. And then even with revenue, people have this fear about filling the form out wrong. What happens? Is revenue going to come down and show my business? Mm-hmm. Embrace revenue. Revenue are there to support people. Revenue are not there to shut down businesses. They're there to stop fraudulent activity, tax evasion. They're not there to take someone's dream and pull it away from them. Okay, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. Treat the revenue like any other overhead in your business, like utilities, like the bank law. It's just another stakeholder you have to deal with. And again, they're human beings at the end of the day that work in the revenue. So even if you don't get the assistance of an accountant or a financial advisor, you can still do these three things yourself. Mm. And if you want to fill out the revenue form, pick up the phone and ring them. You will get someone at the end of that line that will assist you, whether it's how to complete the form, what VAT rate should I be applying? Should I be cash receipts or invoice basis? Like, that's all overwhelming for someone who's starting out in business.
Very, yeah.
That's why we hope that the soft approach we take with the Instagram and the podcasts is that the advice is there online. We're just breaking it down for you. Mm-hmm. And the satisfaction we get seeing someone that had an idea and actually turn it into a business, that's enough for us. If we build a relationship after that, brilliant. That's the bonus, okay? But seeing someone that not get put off because they feel that I don't want to deal with that stuffy, intimidating banker or accountant or solicitor or the revenue, breaking down them fears is what the startup accountant's all about. So I think now is the best time ever to be doing your research, reaching out to people like ourselves and like yourself. And there's a good network of people out there that are willing, like to James and other people that are in that space that will give support for free. As long as you're genuine and looking to start a business, there's loads of supports out there. Start reaching out to these people. Don't be afraid to ask for help. That's the other thing I'd say to
people. That's the big one.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah, that's the big one. Because people are so good with their time. People will generally say yes. Even me asking people to come on the podcast, sometimes I'm like, Jesus, I wonder if they're a bit busy. They're like, yeah, I'd love to. And they're so open. And I think a lot of the problem is people don't ask. People are like, what if they say no? What if they say no, they say no. It's just, but as you say, it's how you approach it. It's, go with specific questions. Don't go with broad questions. How do I start a business? Well, that's very, you've nailed it there. Get your entity, bank account, taxes. Mm. And that, I get that question a lot. It's like, how do I start a business? I'm like, it's pretty straightforward. Just cover these off. And at least then you're not 6 months down the line trying to untangle this absolute mess. I'm sure you get it the whole time. People coming to you 6 months later going, I started this business, but I kind of didn't check the taxes or I'm playing the wrong path. It's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. But what we try to even remind people is you had the idea initially. That's the biggest challenge, or having been brave enough. So at the moment, you have the opportunity to probably start your business while maintaining a PAY job or maintaining another business. So I always say, people say you should go all in. I'm not so sure about that as a startup because, at the end of the day, we do have a real life, mortgages to pay, rent to pay. Mm. It's very hard for someone to be committed and go all in on their dream or their side project. But definitely now is the time to actually have the free time to set it up and research on it, get the information. Don't be put off by, don't wait. You'll wait forever. You've had the idea. Yeah. Just press the button, execute it. And there will be good people around you to support you. And that's the beauty of, again, technology with Instagram, podcasts, Skype, Zoom. you can interact with people so easily now. Mm. You know, I say, again, a way you used to do networking 3 or 4 or 5 years ago is if you want, if I wanted to meet you, I'd probably be like, where does Gary have his coffee? I'll bump into him. You know, you know, or where does he play sport or what's he into? Now you just have to like follow him on Instagram or DM him.
It's amazing.
Like, it's so easy to interact with someone now or open up a build a network. So that's what I say to people, embrace the technologies that are there. I would be someone that, again, a year ago, I'd no real desire to be on Instagram, but now that I have a focus of why I'm on it, okay, we all unfortunately spend that hours daily trolling through feeds, but you know, using it for a purpose, LinkedIn, huge, using it for a specific reason, it definitely can help you achieve your goal.
I couldn't imagine doing video. I hated doing video calls. I absolutely hated them. And now I'm like, geez, this is brilliant because I can do the podcast from home. I can chat to you. I can get that depth of like literally we're sitting looking at each other. It's amazing, but it's like the contactless thing you were saying, you know, that little shove going, actually it's not that bad. But like you say, like reach out to literally someone LinkedIn me yesterday, messaged me yesterday going, oh, I'd love to ask you about, you know, this thing about property and, you know, how do I do this? And I was like, yeah, let's do a call or two today. And I had a Zoom call with him like 2 or 3 hours later and he got the info he was looking for and we now have a new connection. So just ask, I think that's great advice. That's the biggest key.
I definitely think so. Just ask for advice.
Glenn, as you kind of look towards, we'll kind of wrap it up now, but as you kind of look towards the next kind of 6 months, like what's your kind of feeling on the whole, where we're heading to? I suppose it's very asking you to predict the future, but still.
I think it's going to be tough, okay? And I'd say I don't want to end a podcast on a negative note, but what advice I'd give to people is prepare for the worst. Always prepare for the worst. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to be pessimistic, but prepare for the worst and more than likely you'll get through this. Don't be naive going into the next few months, okay? Don't expect someone else to solve the problem for you. So everything we just discussed on the podcast in terms of like, you know, supports that are available, doing your cash flow, communicating with people, that's going to be so critical over the next 6 months because nobody knows what's going to happen. But I think we all know that it's going to be different. And we all don't like different initially. Mm. We do adapt very quickly. But it's a bit like what happened 6 weeks ago. The panic was there straight away. So my advice to people is it's going to be different. It's going to be tough. I think we're not seeing the real implications of it now because I know it might sound silly to say, but at the moment, a lot of people are cash rich at the moment because they're obviously, everyone's still getting paid in one form or another due to the government's COVID-19 payment and they're not spending any money. So at the moment, that fear is not there yet and everyone's in the same boat. But 6-9 months' time, all that forgiveness will be gone. The business will start opening up but in a different way. So again, I heard on the radio this morning, like, you know, flights, you know, they might be only 75% full. Restaurants might be only 50% full. So you might be opening up into a new world where trading conditions are different. Don't go into it blind. Don't go into it naive. As I say, prepare for the worst and you'll probably do okay. That would be my advice for the next 6 months, 9 months. But give yourself a break as well a little bit because there's no one that knows the answer either. Like, you know, there's no one. I want to make sure that we, you know, when we get out the other side, I'm ahead of everyone. We all want to do that. That's the entrepreneurial streak in us. We all want to be able to maximize the opportunity. But do the basics first, you know, and make sure you're keeping an eye on your business, keeping an eye on your cash flow. That will keep you in good stead on the other side.
Well, then on a kind of positive note, I was kind of blown away by your organization and how you structure yourself. Yeah. I think that actually will end on a positive because I think that those tools for a lot of people would be very useful now because I think a lot of people are kind of like, never worked from home, couldn't even foresee it a few weeks ago. Like maybe just break down, if you don't mind, just sharing your
personal. I think it's
genius. I love it.
I tell you where it came from, and I think we discussed this. I don't read a lot. I read some books, like everyone. I audio books, or you know, you're listening to podcasts. I'd rather get my information there. But again, I think listening to Brian Keane or something like that, I came across Craig Ballantyne's The Perfect Day Formula, and I read that book, and it really was a bit of a game changer about 12 months ago for me because I now hate wasting time, and I believe that structure is freedom, and I really do believe that. And I hate going into a day or a week or a month and having free time. It doesn't necessarily mean I don't waste time, but at least I can analyze and look back and see, right, you know, where did the day go wrong? So I actually do break down my day, and you've seen the calendar I use. I break it down, and from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to bed. And on a weekly, I plan like daily, weekly, monthly in advance. And I do break it down to what I'm doing every hour. I factor in family time, I factor in gym time, I factor in social time, meeting the lads, doing whatever. But at least I know that I'm not wasting time, and it removes the anxiety, and it lets me know then, because I always find you get anxious about things. I find you get anxious when about something that you know you could actually solve by looking at it. Yeah. Like that's where the anxiousness comes in. So, and by having structure, by having like kind of a calendar and structure, you can then go, right, I can get that done, or at least tell yourself, well, I just didn't have time to do that. And then what you do is you end up prioritizing the most important things. So I do definitely feel that, especially if you're an entrepreneur and you're in business, like if you're in business, you have so much to do in terms of, especially if you're on your own, taxes, dealing with staff, dealing with creditors, then you've got a family life, then you might have children, then you've got your health, then you've got your social life. I've listed 6, 7, 8 things there. You know, you can't go in, you can't just expect to throw the balls in the air and get to the end of the week and have achieved all that. You have to have structure.
And you'll always you might easy get the one first. You'll always be like, oh, I'll do that nice easy task. And then that eats up 3-4 hours and you're like, shit.
Exactly. And then you end up getting frustrated with yourself and you start getting annoyed. Yeah. And that's what happens. So you get into this vicious cycle of not achieving your goals, analysing things, procrastinating on things, and you just end up doing nothing. Mm. And that's why I just think that if I could give one piece of advice to anyone, whether, you know, the business owners or whoever's listening to this podcast, is definitely put a structure in place. Now, maybe I'm a bit too gone the other way from reading Craig Ballantyne's book, but I definitely think having that structure going into a week, a month in advance, filling your calendar, putting stuff in, it definitely gives you more focus. And it definitely has been a game changer for me since I read that book.
That's the Perfect Day Formula, is it?
Perfect Day Formula, yeah, right. Craig Ballantyne. He's got another book as well, Unstoppable, I think it is. Okay. That was his second book. Obviously, he's on Instagram as well, and he has podcasts. I'm not saying that I get lots from his podcast or his Instagram page, but definitely that book was definitely something that...
I'll link it down below and maybe try find an article or something that explains it to people.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Glenn, where can people learn more about The Startup Accountant?
Yeah, well, look, the Startup Accountant, our main platform is on our Instagram page. So at Startup Accountant, and we have a website, startupaccountant.ie, and we have a podcast as well. You'll probably see there's four of myself, Elaine, J.R. and Phil. They're the four of us that kind of spearhead the Startup Accountant. J.R. would be the famous out of us all. he pops up. So if you start following us online, you'll know J.R. pretty quickly. but he pops up everywhere.
I got one question from Instagram, actually. I put up that your guys are coming on. The only question I got was, how does J.R. have such great hair? That was the only question I got.
I'll let him answer that. I'll get him to answer that on the Daily Story today. But Instagram is probably where you'll get us most. It's the platform we use a lot. Don't hesitate to DM us or ask us for a quick call. As I said earlier on the podcast, a 5-minute conversation with someone could be the difference whether they're going to set up their business.
Brilliant. Glenn, listen, thank you so much. Look after yourself and I'll talk to you soon.
Cheers, Gary. Thanks, Glenn. Cheers, Paul.
And that was episode 48 of the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you have stuck around this length, I would like to thank you very much. And if there is anyone out there who is having a tough time and who could do with a ear to listen and just throw around some ideas, all my social media channels are open and I'm happy to jump on a call with anyone who feels they could benefit from a quick chat with me. So I will see you next week, Thursday, 6 a.m. as usual. And have a great week. Keep safe and I'll talk to you then.